brings many thoughts together. There was a time in our married life, some of you might remember it, Black Wednesday. I tell my boys that interest was at 12% and they go pale. But Black Wednesday, it went up to 18%. And at the time, I'd already defaulted on my mortgage. I'd missed 2 months' payments, and they were starting to chase us. And I didn't know what to do. And fortunately, I guess I was sensible enough to go and talk to the Building Society, and they capitalised the debt and meant I had to pay them for a bit longer and pay them a bit more over time, but it meant I didn't lose the house. But I can remember the stress I felt. In fact, it was so great, I was driving home with the radio on and the interest rate was just going up and up, and I was doing the mental arithmetic and thinking, well, I can't afford it now, we're going to lose the house. Karen and the boys, I can't do that. Then my wicked mind started calculating, actually, if I die at work, Karen gets the full pension, the mortgage gets paid off from the life insurance, my family might be better off without me. No, fortunately not. But I empathise with that feeling of despair that money can bring. Breakdown in relationships, one of the greatest causes is money pressures. People fall out over money. Many of you know that I'm a social worker. The days when I worked in the field, and I do social work management, so I manage the staff that go out and visit families. But it's strange, you know, encountering poverty firsthand. You see, the poorer you are, the bigger your television is. So you kind of recognise that, don't you? It seems bizarre, doesn't it? God warns us against judging the poor, and it's really hard not to judge. You're sort of thinking, crikey. When I first started as a qualified social worker, I was working with a young woman who was debating whether to keep her baby or to put the child up for adoption. She'd had a very traumatic childhood. And we were expecting our Joe. My admin colleagues were in despair because for this young woman, I had to go out and buy a brand new car, a brand new pushchair, because the rules and regulations says we couldn't buy a second-hand one in case something happened and went wrong and we'd be liable. Meanwhile, I'm buying everything second-hand for our Joe because we didn't have much money. And the admin staff were indignant. But it's just interesting how we cast these sort of judgments on things. Let me tell you about the televisions. Everybody worries about televisions and computers and things. You see, there are companies out there that will lend you money so you can have the latest television. And you only pay 50p a week. Wouldn't you have a big telly at 50p a week? They'll tell you you're paying for it for the next 20 years and the television will have to be replaced at least 4 times during that period. But it's accessible. You see, Morrison's, Nasdaq and Sainsbury's and anybody else, other supermarkets are available, don't give you the option to go and buy your food at that discounted bit. So you have to pay out the money for your food, but your TV, you can get it. In fact, when I was training in Newcastle, there used to be signs out at some of the television shops of, we accept benefit checks. They would cash the benefit check and take out the payment for the telly and give the cash to the person. The snare of debt that draws people in. Another example I had of how it's so difficult for people about money. One of my first clients when I was on duty social work, a woman came in and said, can you phone the bank because they keep asking for my credit card? And they keep saying it's theirs, but it's got my name on. I said, yeah, it's also got their name on. I said, technically, I think it does belong to them. I said, how come you've run up so much debt? And she said, well, I lost my job a year ago. And I said, well, oh, that's awful. So what have you been buying? She says, well, just because I lose my job, I don't see why the grandchildren should suffer. so she could continue to buy gifts for the grandchildren. So it was out of a generous heart she got herself into a right pickle. You see, we can make judgments about foolishness, wrong decisions, and yet it's so close that we could fall into the same traps. I had periods where my credit cards ran out of control because something went wrong with the car and I had no money, so I put it on the credit card. And then didn't quite work out. Even though I paid a bit off, I was paying more interest, and soon worked out the calculation I was paying more for my interest than the debt I actually owed. And I fortunately had means to try and address it. I know of a grandparent who took her children because her daughter couldn't cope with her children anymore. She bought some bunk beds. Bunk beds cost about £300 from a certain high street company. I thought that was quite expensive, the kind of bunk bed she bought. But she'd come to us because she says, I bought these bunk beds 3 years ago and now I owe £2,500. Fortunately, in social services, we were able to assist in that case. But you can just see how you, desperate times, you do desperate things without necessarily being able to think your way through. God's very clear that we're not to judge the poor. We're not to show disparity or distinguish it or make judgments. Deuteronomy, good Old Testament stuff. If there is a poor man with you, I'm sure it includes poor women as well, one of your brothers or sisters in any of your towns in your land, which the Lord your God is giving to you, note that whatever we have, God has given it to us. You shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother. This was the teaching to the Israel nation. It's interesting. Money itself is not evil. Because sometimes we can have events like this and we suddenly feel guilty about everything we have. God is a loving, gracious God that knows how to give us good gifts and wants us to enjoy life. The law says, out of your abundance, be generous. The law said, of the fields, don't harvest to the edge. You have to be joking in these days of efficiency. It's hard, isn't it, George? You maximise everything, don't you? Yield, measure it up, fat the cows up. But Scripture actually said, don't harvest the edge of the field. Why not? That was so the poor could come and gather it up. You've got enough. Let them have that. Jesus, we were looking at our house group this week, was just in terms of the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And in terms of the poor man, Lazarus, was actually, all he longed for was the crumbs. Didn't actually want to say, I wish I was wealthy. I wish I had the same. He just said, I just yearn for one of the crumbs. Out of the abundance of God's grace and love to us, we can share small things and make a big difference. God's heart to the poor. 1 Samuel 2:8. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honour. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. What's that mean? God's principles of one of generosity. To honour those that have been dishonoured. To deal with the things that would drag people down. Could be in for a long morning. I told you a lot of scriptures about poverty. Psalm 72:13. He will have compassion on the poor and needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. Another strapline for cap, isn't it? I don't want to steal your thunder. Psalm 140, verse 12. I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the justice for the poor. Psalm 113. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Proverbs, that interesting book. he who oppresses the poor taunts the maker. Why? Because it's against God's heart. But he who is gracious to the needy honours him. We just sung the song, I want to honour you with all that I am. But he who is gracious to the needy honours him. Simple. Yeah, it's quite hard, isn't it? I remember sharing with Alan once in terms of last 6 years I've had a roller coaster of reliability of income. And I just remember saying, the more things I have, the stickier they seem to become. I don't know if you find that, but I find that. If I don't have a lot, it's quite easy to be generous. If I have lots, it's actually quite hard. It's perverse, isn't it? But suddenly, if I've got something, I need to think about whether I'm going to lock it away and protect it. Am I going to have an alarm on it? Do I need to insure it? If I haven't got anything, I don't worry about any of those things. It's funny, isn't it? Our relationship. We often seek what is the will of God. I know the passage that gave John direction to set up CAP was Isaiah 58. I just want to read verse 7 for him. God's will. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Don't turn the other way. Offer that compassion that Jesus offered. Okay, tell you what's going on in Carlisle with CAP before Liz comes up and tells us what's happening on the bigger picture. Christians Against Poverty in Carlisle. How long do you think CAP's been going in Carlisle? 10 years. Higher? Lower?
Higher.
12?
25.
25. I was quite surprised, actually. Been going for 13 years in Carlisle. Okay. They operate the debt centre, where people can go and get advice and guidance. Liz will tell you more about these things. Fresh Start, helping people with tendencies of addiction. Those snares that trap people in, actually helping with that. And the CAP Money Course, which is really useful in terms of helping people to manage their money better and understand what you're signing up for. Maybe you would read the credit card and they sort of say, just sign here. And there's about 5 pages behind it in tiny, 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 tiny writing that says terms and conditions. And if you're like me, yeah, I'll read it later. But I've already signed my name away, haven't I? Before I actually know what the terms and conditions are. Jill Wheatley is the centre manager. She runs a debt centre with someone called Jane Fearon. Fresh Start course is run by Alan, the pastor of St Paul's Elam Church. CAP Money course is run by Fiona Sheldon along with 4 others. Plus there are numerous volunteers that actually go around with the trained people and just do some of the befriending and some of the running around and things like that. Maybe today's the day when God pokes you. Maybe today's the day when he says, you can do some of this. Oh, I couldn't do all the money stuff. I can't do maths. Or maybe you could be the volunteer that goes along, helps along. Maybe you can help in the debt centre, make a cup of coffee when somebody arrives. Sometimes it's the small things that make a difference. They also run a fortnightly drop-in centre that's open to anybody. That's open to people they've helped before, but also open to people that have got a current problem and just kind of need that first step. You see, I don't know. I know I felt it at the time. I felt ashamed when I couldn't manage my money properly. I was an intelligent guy. I had a professional job. And to actually say I'd kind of lost control of my money, it was really hard. Maybe it feels like I'm an idiot to have done this. I was needed to sign up. Maybe I bought the wrong thing. Maybe I shouldn't have paid for that holiday. Maybe I should have been sensible. So actually taking that first step over the door. Maybe there's somebody you know that you think is struggling. Maybe you're the friend who can help them just to go to the drop-in centre. Take that first step to being free, to being released. What's the impact? Jill Centres, 63 people are currently on their books. I'm sure they'd like to reach more, and I'm sure there's more need in Carlisle than 63 people. But of course, the harvest is ready. It needs labourers to go out to make it work. Last year, 18 of the clients became debt-free. That's a phenomenal statement. It's so easy to say, but the actual reality to become debt-free. I know personally when I sort of turned a curve and something like that, I stopped waiting for the red reminder of a bill and robbing Peter to pay Paul and all of that. And suddenly I think, gosh, how life felt so much easier to be debt-free. Five clients prayed the prayer. Not only did they become debt-free, they became free of the debt of sin and entered into new life. And that's part of the heart of CAP. There are six people worshipping at St. Paul's because of that hand of help of the gospel love in action. And just in case you think it's all happening in Carlisle, work CAP is active in all of Cumbria, in Penrith, Whitehaven, Kendal, and Barrow and Furness too. Ask Jill if there's anything we could be praying for. Perhaps we could put the prayer thing up on the website, guys, so people can go back and have a look when you're praying. They pray that people might be debt-free. Financially debt-free and sin debt-free are the two heart's desires. They've seen the difference God makes. It's true the concern that they have is more and more people appear to be having the added problem of mental health issues. Sometimes it's the money problems generates the mental health, sometimes the mental health generates the money problems. A lot of it is to do with people being isolated from their family, from their friends. We've become a very insular society, and therefore people don't have the ability to share the burden. Look at your scripture. Share one another's burdens. God's wisdom. Man's wisdom catches up and says, we've got a good idea. If people talk to each other, they'll be better off. God got there first. Summer holidays are coming up. All the parents in the room smile. 6 weeks to enjoy your children, full time. He says, having grown up children. What Jill was saying is, often there's an aftermath after the school holidays, just in terms of trying to entertain the children. It's a bit like the television, so, maybe we have to go to the big theme park, maybe we have to go and do things that cost money all the time and try and actually find things to entertain the children which don't cost money and suck you into that debt. So, some thoughts and prayer points. That's enough from me. I'd like to invite Liz up. And just pray for you.
Wonderful, yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Liz. We thank you for her giving her time up to come and share the work of CAP. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint her words, that they might convict us of your truth, encourage us, and just bring joy to us, knowing of your loving heart to each one of us and to all the people around us. Bless her. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, I genuinely don't think I could have been set up any better or have ever been set up any better for talk. In fact, I might just sit back down again because I think you've, to be honest, I think you've covered pretty much everything that I wanted to do. That was fantastic. So it's fantastic to be with you here today. I actually, to be honest, right now I just want to move to Carlisle and come and join you guys. You know, it's a beautiful city. I always forget how much north there is up from Yorkshire, but yeah, it's incredible that wherever I go in the country, when you find people that have the same heart and the same passion for God, actually it feels like you're home almost instantly, and I've really felt that in joining you today, so I just wanted to thank you for that. So this morning I'm going to, probably you've heard some of it already actually, but just share a bit more and a few more stories about the current sort of epidemic of poverty in the UK. We're seeing it growing year by year. We're seeing more and more people not just struggling with poverty in the UK, but also coming to CAP. So over the last sort of 6 months to a year, we're seeing more and more often our centres being fully booked up as being over capacity. We're currently working to about 20% over capacity in our debt operations area, just because the poverty is growing at such a rate and unmanageable debt is growing at such a rate that there's more demand often than there is provision, not just among CAP services, but among all the other debt agencies across the UK as well are seeing the same thing. We're seeing a massive rise in the epidemic that is poverty. But one of CAP's main goals is to see people released from that it's very rare that people just have a debt problem. You know, as Steve sort of mentioned, it's often, you know, one of the surface issue, but more and more there's mental health problems, there's family problems, there's income problems, there's health problems, and all of that is sort of, the debt is the tip of the iceberg, and we're seeing that more and more. So hopefully, you know, my talk today is going to be challenging and, you know, everyone is hopefully okay with a bit of a challenge, but it's also going to be really encouraging and I'm pretty sure you'll all be okay with that. So right now in the UK, there's an estimated 1.5 million people living in destitution. So that's parents who are missing meals, especially in the summer holidays, so that they can feed their children, you know, their children's friends if they come over. Suddenly they're not getting free school meals during the weekdays. So suddenly they've got to find more cash in order to feed their kids. It's elderly people living alone, unable to put the heating on. It's people battling multiple mental and physical health problems and are just unable to even begin to tackle the debt issues or the financial problems that they're facing. I mean, I've been a debt counsellor for 5.5 years now, and occasionally I see a piece of paperwork that I'm like, oh, good grief, I'm not even sure how to start on this. You know, these are people that haven't got qualifications, haven't got necessarily good math skills, haven't even got the ability to start organising their life. And where would you even start often? So these are people that left to their own devices would just be stuck in hopelessness. They've no way of clawing themselves out of it without a helping hand. And just to put that into perspective for you, so that's 1.5 million people. The population of Carlisle, I googled this morning, is 108,000 people. So that's 15 Carlisles worth of people in debt. So that's, imagine, you know, every person you've driven past today on the way to church, every person, if you're a teacher, you know, every parent that sends a child to your school, that's 15 times that amount of the people in the UK in debt. And it's growing by the day. So it is an incredibly huge number. But often, if you're anything like me, numbers can almost fly over your head. It's like, it's a big number. It's almost unfathomable. But every single one of those people is an individual, is an individual or a couple or a family that is struggling, that is slowly losing a battle against their debt. And that is where CAP comes in. So I'm going to play a quick video for you, and just to show you one example of a story of a person that's gone through this.
Didn't know what situation I was in. to walk past the house. No, you wouldn't know. The only thing you think is, oh, that person keeps their curtains closed. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. The one thing I didn't want was to be judged. You put a front on to people. I won't have a cup of tea because I've only got a quarter of a pint of milk that's got to last me a week. You make excuses. Oh, the boiler's not working today, so I can't put the heating on, sorry. Oh, the bulbs have blown, sorry. I'd go around and take the bulbs out. My bedtime became sort of 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening because I couldn't read by the lights I had and or do my cross stitch or anything like that. Collect the post once in a blue moon. Big pile of letters, isn't it? We want this, we want this, we want this. You can't have it. There's just nothing left. You don't see an end. And as much as people tell you there's an end, there isn't. You're living, not day to day, I was living minute to minute. And the only answer I could see was, if I'm not on this earth, you can't get anything from me.
Over 1.5 million people haven't got enough food to eat, heating for their home, or even a place to call their home, right here, right now in the UK. Poverty is in every community, often hidden behind closed doors. I know what it's like to not have enough to feed your children. I know what it's like to have to leave home. And that's why I started CAP 23 years ago. We offer award-winning debt counselling. We have job clubs. And we offer courses that help people with life skills and dependencies. Every one of our life-transforming services is run in partnership with a local church just like yours. Whenever CAP partner with local churches, lives are transformed and poverty is relieved. Every year together, tens of thousands of lives are touched by the work of CAP and the local church. But most importantly, around 1,000 people choose to respond to Jesus. On her own, Tina had absolutely no chance of resolving her debt situation. But once the local church and CAP were on the scene, things began to change dramatically.
It was a relief when Ruth came home because, for once, it was someone that wanted to listen to me, that wasn't getting paid to listen to me. And I sobbed. I broke my heart. She then said, right, we're going to help you here. They will sort you a budget out that gives you money that I can go shopping, where I could open the post and just put it in an envelope and send it to Ruth or keep it for her next visit. Such a relief to be able to get up in the morning and open your blinds and your curtains and you see sunlight instead of a dark room. You know, and I remember going to church after I went debt free. You all right? Yep. I went debt free the other day. Yeah, and you know, and everyone was generally pleased that I'd done it as well. And through the CAP journey, I started going to my local Baptist church. And it started restoring my faith. I got baptised. And it was like a piece of my wall that I put up came down. But also another weight got lifted. With the support of my father and the support of the churches and the people around me, I can now start rebuilding my life.
Join over 30,000 other people who, just like you, believe that the church should be involved in its community and be at the forefront of social change, who, like you, believe that poverty should be relieved and people should be given a chance to live again, and also that Jesus should be at the heart of all we do, that we should share the good news with the people that we help. Will you today join those, and together we can make a massive difference? £10 a month, 2 calls answered, everything starts with a call. Will you be the bringers of hope into people's lives?
So I'm not sure how much I can really add to Tina's story. I think when you hear it from someone that's actually been through it, it just makes such a big impact. But as you can see from Tina, is there was so much shame that she was hiding from people, that so often people can appear absolutely fine on the outside. They can appear jovial, they can appear like they've got it all together, but inside, actually, life is a mess. And we had a client once where, from the outside of her house, it was quite a large house, I think they'd inherited it, it looked tidy, you know, it was a beautiful looking house. You'd think that they were quite happily middle class, quite happily got it all together. What could they possibly have to complain about? Look at their beautiful life. But when you went through the door and when you went into the house, you discovered that the cupboards were literally empty, that the house was freezing cold because they were living on a basic pension and couldn't afford to heat such a massive house, you know, couldn't afford to put the kettle on, couldn't afford to, you know, eat even, you know, provide even basic food because, you know, their council tax is high because it's a nice property. You know, people can on the outside look like they've got it all together, but poverty doesn't hit one type of person. That you often see you know, particular groups that are especially impacted by it, people with mental health problems, people with addictions, people that are on benefits or have lost their jobs, you know, but actually any person at any time in their life can be hit by poverty, can be hit by debt. Just as Steve mentioned, it's just so easy. I mean, my parents had, my dad's a, you know, a project manager for a massive engineering company, and his entire wage was going on their mortgage at one point, you know, and that's not it's not anything they've done, it's not any decision they've made, and so often it's not a decision that someone has made. You know, sometimes people make bad decisions, and you know what, we all make bad decisions sometimes, just some of them have worse consequences than others, you know. But actually, so often it's a case where someone's not even made a bad decision, it's just life has handed them something that they've been unable to face or unable to manage in a way that they expected, and have found themselves in this situation. And poverty looks really different for different people. So we've had, you know, we have cases of doctors who work with us who, you know, might owe hundreds of thousands of pounds. We have cases of, you know, people that are on job seekers that owe, you know, only just over £1,000. And yet it's the impact that that debt has is identical. It's a common theme. And one of the biggest things we see is shame and embarrassment. No one is proud of getting into debt. You know, no one goes around with a badge going, "I'm in debt." You know, whether or not it's their own fault, whether or not it's not, there's this element of shame, of embarrassment, of feeling like you should have it together. I'm a trained cap money coach as well as a debt counsellor. And we had a lovely couple who were 85 who came along to our cap money course. And her husband had been managing all the finances their entire life. And she'd only just started noticing that their savings were getting eaten into. Very slowly. And it turned out that for years he'd just been trying to like bail out the ship. That he thought that he didn't even want to admit it to his wife, that he was struggling, he couldn't quite make ends meet, and he was desperately trying to bail things out and deal with it without getting help. And it took years and years before he would actually say, "You know what, I need help. I'm willing to let someone else into this. I'm willing to admit to someone else the mess we've made of this." And it takes most people on average between 3 to 5 years of unmanageable debt before they come and get help. So that's not just the debt that's slowly getting out of hand. It's been out of hand for 3 to 5 years. You've had 3 to 5 years of that stress, of that anxiety, of that guilt and shame before they will even pick up the phone and call someone. So one of the things that we find most important in CAP is, as she said, she picked up the phone and she spoke to someone that, you know, we don't care how someone gets into debt. It could be entirely your fault. You could have made really ridiculously bad decisions. You know, you could have had addictions. You could have misspent. You could have done, you know, you could have been in prison and caused all sorts of problems. We don't care. We meet people where they are and help them get into a better place. We're not there to judge. We're not there to make them feel any worse about themselves because, you know what, they've probably been doing a pretty good job of that already. We're there to help people, meet them where they are and draw them out of that debt situation. But the problem is so often not just debt. So we are one of multiple debt agencies across the UK. You know, we're not half the size of the Citizens Advice Bureau, we're not half the size of Step Change, and yet we are the people that are regularly signposted to for people with complex needs because we provide so much more than a debt service. And I'd just like to give you two very different examples of people that we've helped. So we had one lady who, she came to us because her husband had died. And it wasn't until she was dealing with all her husband's effects But she discovered that he'd taken out between £20,000 and £30,000 of debt, credit card debt, in his wife's name. And so he died, and he left her with this debt. They had a house, so she couldn't just go through, you know, a bankruptcy or an insolvency. She had to deal with this debt. So not only was she facing the issue of having lost the man that she'd spent, you know, the last 40, 50 years with, and the loss of, you know, suddenly being alone in a house, all the things that come with grief, but suddenly she had this unmanageable debt and all the anger and the pain and the forgiveness needs that, you know, suddenly the man that you thought you knew, the man that you thought you loved, has been doing all this for years behind your back and you had no idea. And so, yes, we can help her deal with the debt, but there's so much underlying need and pain going on in that lady's life. On the complete other side of the spectrum, last year we had a girl who was 19 and had to pick between having £5 a week for putting on her gas and electric or £5 a week for food. And that came about because of the fact that she was 19, she had a four-year-old child who was already in care. So she'd been 15 when she'd first had a baby. And she'd gotten pregnant again, and the council had rehoused her. So they'd housed her in a two-bedroom property because one bedroom for her, one bedroom for the baby. As soon as she had the baby, she had her child-related benefits, she had child tax credit, she had the standard rate job seekers, because if you're under 25, you get a lower rate. And, you know, everything was fine. She, you know, she was getting really good support, and then suddenly her baby died. So not only did this 19-year-old, basically still a child, 19-year-old, have to deal with the loss of her baby, she had to deal with the fact that her child-related benefits got withdrawn. She was suddenly eligible for bedroom tax because she had one more room than the government felt that she needed. And you have to top up most places you don't get full council tax support, even if you're on benefits. So you still have to pay a percentage of your council tax. And her benefits dropped to the under 25 rate. So it was about £52 a week she had to live on, and pay out of that her bedroom tax, pay out of that her council tax, pay out of that her water bill, and suddenly you've got £5 left. Now, for both of those people, they had financial problems. They had debt problems. They had income problems. But in both of those situations, you could have thrown all the money at the world at it and actually wouldn't have met those needs. Because what those people need is they need a community. They need people to come around them, to love them, to support them, to help them face the emotional pain that they're going through. You know, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a baby, the forgiveness issues, the, you know, imagine all the things that a 19-year-old girl must have gone through in order to have a child at 15 and, you know, end up without a family backing her. You know, if she couldn't go back to her parents when she'd just lost a baby, imagine what she's been through. And that isn't stuff that an over-the-phone debt counselling charity or even me at the head office can deal with. That is something that the church needs to be dealing with, a community needs to be dealing with. And that's exactly what Tina found as well, is she didn't just have a debt problem, she's got health problems, she's got mental health problems, she's got the issues of isolation, she's been, you know, shutting herself in her house. And every single person we meet, whether they look all right on the outside or not, has these needs, has these pain and this... And the stuff that only God and only the church can meet. And that is why we will never, ever set up a service that isn't backed by a frontline church. Because actually the church provides a need that the best training course in the world can't provide, or the best debt counselling service in the world can't resolve. Because there's so much more than debt as a problem. And we are all called to serve God through our church. That might look different for different people. So for me, my personal cap story is I got Nevertheless, which is John Kirkby's diary, which you'll all have an opportunity to own at the end of today. But my old housemate had a copy of Nevertheless, and I'd just been quite interested in Occupy Wall Street in the US. Had been doing some work with debt write-offs, and I thought, that's quite interesting. Could we do that in the UK? And it turns out, no, we can't, because the legal system works very differently. But he said, have you heard of CAP? His sister used to work at CAP. And he gave me a copy of the Nevertheless, and I read it within 24 hours and went on the website. And there were jobs, and I applied for the jobs. And I was teaching secondary school, and if you'd asked me, even, you know, a few days previously, and said, you know what, do you want a job staring at spreadsheets and paperwork all day, I'd have laughed my head off. And yet, I was just like, I have to work for this charity. And so I finished teaching on the Friday, got offered a job, I got moved to a flat that I'd never seen before on the Saturday. My husband-to-be and my dad had seen it and sent me a little video. Started work at CAP on the Monday, and then 2 weeks later, we were back down in Coventry where we'd moved from, getting married, because God just absolutely clotheslined me. I thought I knew where my life was going. I thought, you know, I've got a nice church, I've got a nice job, I've got a nice community down in Coventry, and God was like, no, Bradford. You know, 5 years later, I am still as passionate, if not more passionate, about what CAP is doing, because you just see so many broken lives. And from an external perspective, it could be quite disheartening, hearing all these horrible situations, hearing all these ways in which people have, you know, been hurt or their lives have been messed up. But actually, the amazing thing is that myself, and to be honest, every single one of you, can do something about that. Every single person has a role to play, and your role probably is not to move down to Bradford. I don't think our head office could fit all of you starting working with us, but actually there is a role for every single one of you in facing the poverty epidemic in your community, whether that is, as Steve mentioned, volunteering for our local debt centre or helping run one of our courses. You know, your church can run a course as well. You can train in CAP Money, you can train in our job clubs, you can train in our Fresh Start groups, or whether that is just, you know, getting on board with the work of CAP, because, you know, it's kind of why I'm here. But, you know, no pretense on that. Or whether it's finding something else in your community. It's as simple as actually noticing that your neighbour always has their curtains drawn, or someone seems a bit more stressed out, and asking that question, you know, saying, oh, how are you? And they go, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And be like, but how are you? Because so often people will just give you their, oh, yeah, I'm fine, when actually their world's collapsing. So every single one of you, I guarantee, is called to step up and do something in your community about this. What that looks like is entirely dependent on your situation, on your gifts, on your skills. But every single person here has a role to play in meeting the needs of their community, either through your church or through your existing relationships. And yeah, we often do talk about sending people out. You know, oh, we'll send people out to Africa, we'll send people out to Asia. I moved up to Bradford. But actually, more than anything, there's people right here. There's your next door neighbour, there's a person down the street, there's the person you're working with, the person that, you know, picks up their kids from school at the same time as you. And they are just as in need of God's touch, of a loving hand, of, you know, a community that can care for them and not judge them and be on their side as anyone halfway across the world or down south. You know, so there is just so much need. Even in the heart of your city, in the heart of your community, no one is immune from the effects of poverty or the effects of debt. And yeah, as I said, it can come in any shape or form. You can be a millionaire and still suddenly have financial problems. As Steve said, the more you've got, often the more stressed out you are about it. If you've not got much to lose, you've not got much to be stressed about. And you know what? CAP is meeting those needs. We've touched on it a bit. We've got our debt centres. But we are seeing thousands and thousands of people practically supported and practically helped. Very few people would think, you know, I'm having a really bad day, I'll walk into a church. But actually offering someone a service that is specifically aimed at what they're going through gives us an opening to speak into someone's lives, to show them that there are people that want to come alongside them and love them. We're never anything other than blatant about the fact that we're Christian, but we also don't want to shove it down people's throats. So one of the first things we'll say when someone calls us is, you know what, we're Christians. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to want to become a Christian. That's not a problem. We will offer prayer. We will offer invitations to events, invitations to church. If you're not okay with that, just tell us. It won't affect our service to you in any way. You just have to decline. But actually, you see, even people that initially decline and go, oh, I don't want any of that God stuff, actually, as they see something different in the people that are helping them. They'll often say, oh, well, you said you were going to pray at the end of this visit, or, you know, oh, you've got that event going on, can I pop down to church? And actually you see people almost seeking it out when they see the difference that Christ has made in people's lives. And that's why, as John said, we see about 1,000 people become a Christian every single year through CAP. And that's not just a Christian, you know, make a one-time commitment and then disappear off into the void. That's people connected in with churches, that's people connected in with life groups and communities, and becoming disciples walking with God. Because it's as you know, the Bible says, those that have been forgiven a lot, you know, can love a lot. And actually, these are people that have been forgiven, not just practically in the terms of their debts, but in terms of often a lot of baggage that has been building up for years and years in their lives. So practically, we are not just wonderful, amazing Christians that help people, but we're also actually an award-winning debt service. So I've been working as I'm now a senior debt advisor. The senior got added recently, so I'm just saying that every opportunity I can. You know, I've been working as a debt advisor for CAP for just over 5 years. And we are an award-winning service. We are fully trained. We are fully regulated. It took a year before I was allowed to do absolutely anything without someone checking it before. So, you know what? We provide an exceptional service. And because we provide an exceptional service, we are seeing incredible breakthrough, not just in terms of people working with us and our expansion, but also in terms of us having a voice in government, a voice in the industry. So we've got, you know, I think it's something like 5 out of the 7 main energy providers now have a partnership agreement with us. And we have bailiff companies where if we call and give them CAP's password, they will halt all action, no questions asked, for 28 days. There could literally be a bailiff banging down that person's door. We call them, we say they're with CAP, and they're like, okay, we'll call them off. And that, you know, even, you know, 5 years ago was unheard of. But we are seeing a complete shift in the industry and people seeking us out. Like, as unashamedly Christian people, we've still got completely secular organisations going, how can we partner with you? How can we help you? We've got one major high street brand now has adopted a debt centre, and they don't only just do one client hamper for each client in that centre at Christmas now, they do 5 for each client because they just love it. They're like, we can help, we can invest, and we're seeing almost the secular world do our job for us in many respects, because where God is, there are miracles. And we're seeing, you know, we get invited to most of the major party political conferences, we get invited to, you know, anything where it's around the table, around debt, around welfare, we are now being invited. And that is incredible, because not only are we impacting individual lives, but we're impacting the entire atmosphere of finance and debt and, you know, lending in the UK. And that in itself is incredible. You mentioned one of what I consider one of my debt counselling swear words, which is higher purchase items, which is where you get a TV and you pay £1 a week for your entire life, and you get a 500 quid TV and it costs you 1,200 quid. There's a couple of other swear words in my debt counselling, one of which is guarantor loans. I once had a lady who, elderly lady, owned a bungalow, and her grandson said, "Gran, can you be the guarantor on my loans? I promise I'll pay them." And she said, "Oh yeah, sure, so £20,000 worth of loans." Because he's young, obviously he can't get credit, so he needs a guarantor. She thought, oh, he's good for it. He's not good for it. And then he goes through a debt relief order, which clears his debt, but her name's still on it. So suddenly, her grandson's got away scot-free, and she's got £20,000 worth of debt and owns a house. You know, so, yeah, guarantor loans, one of the other debt counselling swear words. Universal credit, another one. But yeah, we're actually seeing a change, and we're seeing the impact that we're making. And that's incredible that the church is the forefront of social change, that Christians are actually getting a say in, you know, how we can show grace in policies, how we can show grace in the way in which, you know, companies collect. We're currently looking at seeing people putting welfare teams in place in nearly every major lender, so that if there's someone that's particularly vulnerable, they have a team that's more supportive. And so, yeah, we are seeing incredible breakthrough, and yeah, more and more lives changed every single year. But as I said, you know what, there's more need currently than there is resource, and that's where the church steps in. So currently we have 30,000 people regularly giving to the work of CAP. And if you're sat there thinking, oh, I really don't know how I can invest in the poor in my community. I can give you one really, really easy way to do that. And that is to fund CAP. So we are nearly entirely funded by Christians across this nation, 30,000 regular givers. We also apply for grants and various things, but we don't get no government funding whatsoever because we don't want governments change and policies change. And they might say, oh, we don't want you paying for people on visits. And we're like, no, mate, we're paying for people on visits. And so I did want to give you the opportunity today to donate to the work of CAP. So for each of our clients, it starts with a first call. It starts with that, them picking up the phone, them calling 0800 328 0006 and having one of our amazing new inquiries team pick up that phone. And that call costs £5. So if you could donate £5, you would every single month be helping one person who's maybe waited 3 to 5 years to seek out that help get that first ray of light into their lives. If you could donate £10, that's 2 calls. £20 a month could pay for someone like myself, a caseworker, to help 10 clients. And if you are particularly financially blessed or particularly called by this, if you could donate, obviously some of you, most of you probably can't, but if you could donate £50 or more, we have a particular scheme which is called our Vision Sponsorship, which is basically where you get far more one-to-one updates in terms of the latest developments of CAP, personal updates from John, and it sort of is a bit more hands-on in terms of your involvement. So not only does Tina have Ruth, who came into her house, have a church that is supporting her, have debt counsellors at the head office that are helping her, but actually, so often we hear from people like Tina and our debt clients, they can't imagine that there's 30,000 people backing them, that are rooting for them, that are praying for them, that are giving into something that is helping them. That's an incredibly large family that someone has suddenly developed, coming from having absolutely no support, no loved ones, no one that cares. They suddenly got an entire community across the nation that is rooting for them. And I think a lot of that is how, in 23 years, we've grown so much. Is because actually where God is, there's growth. And where God is, there is, you know, it's his salt and his light that in us that we are sharing. And that's why we have gone from, you know, John in his bedroom office with a fiver in his pocket and terrible spelling. It was Chris Staines against poverty, if you see the screensaver when he first started. To, you know, we've got CAP Australia, we've got CAP New Zealand, we've got CAP Canada. We're just about to launch CAP USA. You know, we've got over about 300 debt centres across the UK. We've got nearly 2,000 services across the UK. And as I said, we've got 30,000 people on board. And that is how things grow, is because where God is, there's growth. Where God is, there is, yeah, there's hope and there's light. And so I'll just end by giving you an opportunity to, for completely free, so you don't have to give, in order to get a copy of the book that changed my life. So be careful, because it is a risky thing to read. You never know what God might tell you to do from it. But you, I've got enough books that if every single one of you wanted one, I've probably got enough books if every single one of you wanted them. I'm going, there's some couples in the church, so it should be fine. But if you would consider joining our mailing list and signing up to regularly pray for us, you get a free copy of Nevertheless. So you don't have to donate to us, you just have to agree that we send you an email once a quarter and that you might, you know, give us a shout, pop up a prayer for us every so often, and you get a free copy of the book, which I do promise is well worth reading, just in terms of seeing how faithfulness can be rewarded. Like the amount of times that John was knocked back and someone said, nah, you can't do this, nah, you're not qualified, no, we're not going to fund you, no, you're an idiot, why the heck are you doing this, you should be getting a better job and supporting your wife, you know. And how many times he said, no, God's told me to do something, it's tough, I've not got funding, I've not got support, we've got this deadline looming, and yet God followed through every single time. Just if you want a bit of empowerment and to see how God can work, it is an incredible book. So there's forms at the back. If you would like a copy of the book, it's just the bit that has your details. If you would also like to give, it's the same form and it has a little bit extra that you can sign up for on. If you would like a book, you sign a form, you get a book. No form, no book. No book, no form. I'm not so sure on that. But just before I finish, I just want to thank you so much for having put up with me talking. And if I could just pray for you guys as a church, that would be fantastic. Lord, I thank you so much for every single person that sat in front of me right now. Lord, I thank you for the heart that you've given them, the passion that you've given them to be your salt and be your light in their communities, Lord. I pray that you would just speak into every single person here's life and help them to understand how they can be your hands and your feet, whether that's to their neighbours, whether that's to their communities, whether that's, you know, in the grander scale, Lord, that you would just help them to recognise where you are calling them to step out, where you are calling them to be faithful and to, you know, maybe go out of their comfort zone, Lord, but to invest in your community and invest in helping the poor in their areas, Lord. I just thank you for this church. I thank you for where you've placed it, that it's a place that is just so filled with your spirit, so filled with your passion and your heart, Lord. And I thank you that it is a real cornerstone of Carlisle, Lord. And I just pray you would bless it, that you would help it to flourish, and that you would help it to, just see your outpouring in anywhere it lays its plans, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.